Some of the words that we're going to read here are going to be familiar to you because the song that we sang has identical words to this, where it says, be exalted above the heavens. But let's start in verse 1, a psalm of David. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Over Philistia I will triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with your armies? Give us help from trouble, for the help of man's useless, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. Let's pray. We commit, Lord, this reading of the word to you, and we pray that as we have sought this morning to know you through your word, that you would reveal yourself to us. I pray that the word of God would get into the deepest reaches of our hearts, that we would be transformed even in little ways this morning. I pray that you would make us more a people of faith. I pray that this exercise that we go through here would not just be something we do, but it would weekly be transformational. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we continue our series in worship. 8.5 years and running, as we pointed out last week. We come to Psalm 108, and it's an interesting psalm because if you look at your cross-references in most of your Bibles, you'll have some kind of cross-references. The beginning of Psalm 108 is directly lifted. It's directly taken from a psalm that we've already looked at, Psalm 57. The last part of Psalm 108 is directly lifted from Psalm 60. So there is almost no new psalm here. What you have is a composite of sections from two different psalms that have already been written. And this psalm brings us to an unknown juncture in Israel's history. It's obvious that there are problems here with Edom. He says so in verse 10. That the issue has something to do with Edom. Over and over again, God has promised to destroy Edom. If you look at the future promises as far as what God is going to do with the states that surround Israel, even right now, the promise is always that Edom will be destroyed. Yet at this time, as the psalmist creates this composite of two of David's previous psalms, at this time, Edom is still in existence. God promised to destroy it, but it's still there. Edom is still being an ongoing menace to the children of Israel, to God's people. Now, this psalm is written in the context of this ongoing conflict. Now, I say it was written, but of course we know it wasn't written. It was cut and pasted together. But I think that the format of this mosaic, if you put it that way, I think the format really matters. How did they worship? This is what the psalm gets to. How did they worship when the salvation of the Lord had not yet come? For generations and generations and generations, God promised that Edom would be gone, and generation after generation after generation, Edom was still there. Now, for those who don't know, Edom are the descendants of Esau. Israel are the descendants of Jacob. So you have this brotherly conflict, but the brotherly conflict very often is not very brotherly. And Edom, as Israel goes about trying to claim the promise of God for the land, Edom is constantly there thwarting them. From the very beginning, Edom would not allow Israel, as they were trekking through, Edom would not allow Israel to pass through their land to make it a little easier for Israel to get to their own promised land. All the way to the exile, when Israel was in war for their political lives, and some of them fled down to Edom, hoping that their cousins would give them refuge. What we find out is that Edom said, "Yeah, come here, we'll give you refuge." And on the back door, they were taking bribes from Israel's enemies and immediately turned them over. Edom's relationship with Israel was always a rocky one, and yet Israel still had the promise that God was going to destroy Edom. Now, folks, after 1 or 2 years, that promise might seem a little stale. But after hundreds of years, that promise might seem to be extinct. Where does that bring us? That brings us to why the psalmist puts together this composite psalm, and he starts this way. It says a psalm of David, and then he starts by saying, "O God, my heart is steadfast." Now, when this was written in Psalm 57, what came before it in Psalm 57 was the idea that God had already delivered Israel. And because of that encouraging circumstance, David can look and says, "Look, Lord, look how you have encouraged my heart. My heart now is steadfast." We have a completely different format in this psalm. God hasn't fulfilled his promise yet. In a way, you could say, and just in one way, don't take this too far, but in a way, you could say God hasn't done anything for them yet. And the psalmist is already declaring that his heart is steadfast. Notice all of the future tenses in verse 1. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and I will give praise, even with my glory. The events for which he will give praise have not even happened yet. Verse 2. And by the way, in verse 1 it says, "even with my glory." That's a lot of controversy by commentators as far as what that glory is. Some say it's his tongue. "I will give praise with my tongue," except for it's not the normal word that's used for tongue. Some say it's his head, or his heart, or his soul. Some translations even translate it as soul, not the normal word for soul. It is the normal word for glory. The best we can decipher, I think, the best I can decipher, I'll just leave it at that, is that whatever it is he's talking about that he is going to give God praise with, he's going to worship God with, when he says, "even with my glory," whatever it is, it's the best of whatever it is. It's the best of what he is. So with the best of what I am, I'm going to praise you. Then verse 2, "awake lute and harp." These are the instruments by which he was going to praise. And then he says this, "I will awaken the dawn." There's two ways that we could probably take this. It could be a simple statement of timing, and that is, this psalmist, David, is so exuberant about the fact that God is going to deliver him. so exuberant and so exciting that he cannot even wait for the dawn to come. He cannot even wait for the sun to rise. He says, this morning, because I am so excited to praise the Lord, not for what he has done, but for what he's going to do, I'm so excited that this morning, the dawn will not waken me, I will waken the dawn. My song will waken the dawn. It will ring in the morning. But there's another way we can take this. The other way is to take it figuratively. This is a poem, and a lot of poetry does use figurative language. And it could be taken like this. As the psalmist comes through a very dark part of his life, through dark circumstances, and he's saying that I look ahead of me and I see the darkness, the night of my life that is ahead of me, the darkness of the circumstances that lie in front of me. And he could be saying this, that when I come through the darkness of those circumstances, you know what I'm going to be doing as the sun of God's blessing arises on my life? I'm going to be found singing. Not that I'm going to start singing then, but I'm going to be found singing. What does that mean? That would mean for David that his singing started even as it was dark. My singing through the darkness will awaken the dawn of God's blessing. And folks, either way, I think is a fine way to take it. I lean more towards the figurative, that he's really trying to emphasize that through all of this, when he comes to the other side, my song, my praise is going to awaken the blessings of God. Then you have verses 3. You skip to verse 3, it says, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. Why? For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth. In verses 3 and 5, what we see is the extent of praise. The psalmist will be the instrument by which the Lord's fame is spread abroad. In other words, people are going to hear about you, Lord. And they're not going to hear about you in any old way. They're going to hear about you through me. I'm going to declare your praise. Then look down at verse 6. Well, verse 5 says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens and your glory above the earth, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. Verses 4 and 6 then tell the reason for this praise. Verses 3 and 5 say, your praise, your fame is going to be spread abroad and I'm going to do it. Verses 4 and 6 tell us why. Look at verse 4. For your mercy is great above the heavens. Your truth reaches to the clouds. Now think about the extent of where his mercy and his truth reach. Okay? When we think about the heavens and the clouds, we think of things that are very accessible. We flew through the clouds many times throughout our journeys this summer. We were in the clouds. The clouds, yeah, they're way up there, but we can get to them very easily. Not so in the ancient world, right? If you think of something that is in the clouds, what you are saying is it is so far beyond my ability to reach, that it's up there. The heavens, it's up there. I can't even attain to these things. And what is it that the psalmist describes as being in the clouds and in the heavens? Well, the first word you may be familiar with, for your chesed. Mercy. Anybody ever hear that word before? It sort of comes up, doesn't it? Your chesed, your covenant loyalty, the fact that you are faithful to your covenant. And remember that in Hebrew poetry, what you often have is you have these two lines The way I like to describe it is you don't have lines that rhyme in sound. They rhyme in ideas. So one line says something and another line says kind of the same thing, just from a slightly different perspective. And so we have the synonyms, God's mercy and God's truthfulness. His covenant loyalty is that when he says he's going to do something, he does it. So, the promises that Israel has experienced, where God has told them over and over again, their enemies, the Edomites, will be destroyed. You see, the psalmist is praising the Lord as if that's already happened. Why? Because he understands the very character, the very nature of God, and that is this, that he is fundamentally loyal to his covenant. This is why he's praising. The psalmist will be the instrument of praise. The reason, though, is that God is faithful. And look at verse 6. Verse 6 says the same thing, that your beloved may be delivered. He's in conflict with the Edomites. He's having some kind of immediate distress with the Edomites. And he's saying, but I still praise you. You know why? Because in the end, I know that you will be faithful to what you have said. They will be destroyed. We will be blessed. And then his prayer at the end of verse 6, save with your right hand and hear me. Hear what I'm saying, Lord. Like the song that Pat plays, incline your ear to us. And do what? Save us. Rescue us. Rescue your beloved one. Verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist, is the David. It's the writing, it's the one vision, the south psalmist of the soul beast will be manifestation of state's covenant of God's loyalty. God's, when the psalmist saves that psalmist, manifest will be a mission of state's mercy, of God's mercy. Even though the even specs of process are dim, psalmist the size is realized in the end that in he will and he exalting be exerted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in seven, verse Solomon, the psalmist count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord, verse 7. Look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist, is the David. It's the writing, it's the one vision, the south psalmist of the soul beast will be manifestation of the state's covenant of God's loyalty. God's, when the psalmist saves that psalmist, manifest will be a mission of the state's mercy, of God's mercy. Even though the even specs of process are dim, psalmist the size is realized in the end that in he will and he exalting be exerted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in 7, verse Solomon, the psalmist count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord promised. Lord, verse 7, look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6. All 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist is the David. It's the writing, it's the one vation, the south psalmist of the soul beast will be manifestation of God's covenant of God's loyalty. When God saves that psalmist, man will be a nation of his state's mercy, God's mercy. Even though the even specs of prospects are dim, psalmist the sizes realize in the end that in he will and he exalting be exerted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in 7, verse Solomon, the psalmist count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord, verse 7, look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his heart? Verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6. All 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist is the David. It's the writing, it's the one vation, the south psalmist of the soul beast will be manifestation of the state's covenant of God's loyalty. When God saves that psalmist, man will be a nation of his state's mercy, God's mercy. Even though the even specs of prospects are dim, psalmist the sizes realize in the end that in he will and he exalting be exerted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in 7, verse Solomon, the psalmist count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord, verse 7, look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his heart? Verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6. All 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist is the David. It's the writing, it's the one vation, the south psalmist of the soul beast will be manifestation of the state's covenant of God's loyalty. When God saves that psalmist, man will be a nation of his state's mercy, God's mercy. Even though the even specs of prospects are dim, psalmist the sizes realize in the end that in he will and he exalting be exerted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in 7, verse Solomon, the psalmist count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord, verse 7, look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his heart? Verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6. All 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist, is the David. It's the writing. It's the one ovation, the south psalmist, and of the soul beast will be manifestation of the covenant of God's loyalty. God's, when the psalmist saves that psalmist, manifest will be a nation of the mercy of God's mercy. Even though the even aspects of process are dim, almost the size is realized in the end that in he will and he exalting be exalted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in 7, verse Solomon, the count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord, verse 7, look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6. All 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist, is the David. It's the writing. It's the one ovation, the south psalmist, and of the soul beast will be manifestation of the state's covenant of God's loyalty. God's, when the psalmist saves that psalmist, manifest will be a nation of the mercy of God's mercy. Even though the even aspects of process are dim, almost the psalmist is realized in the end that in he will and he exalting be exalted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in 7, verse Solomon, the psalmist count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord, verse 7, look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6. All 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist, is the David. It's the writing, it's the one ovation, the south psalmist, and of the soul beast will be manifestation of the state's covenant of God's loyalty. God's, when the psalmist saves that psalmist, manifest will be a nation of the mercy of God's mercy. Even though the even aspects of process are dim, almost the psalmist is realized in the end that in he will and he exalting be exerted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in 7, verse Solomon, the psalmist count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord, verse 7, look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his heart? Verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6. All 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist, is the David. It's the writing, it's the one ovation, the south psalmist, and of the soul beast will be manifestation of the state's covenant of God's loyalty. God's, when the psalmist saves that psalmist, manifest will be a nation of the state's mercy of God's mercy.
Even though the even aspects of process are dim, Thomas the size is realized in the end that in he will and he exalting be exalted become the Lord God's as God's promise is sure.
Now in 7, verse Solomon, the count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord per se. Look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist, is the David. It's the writing, it's the one ovation, the south psalmist of the soul beast will be manifestation of the state's covenant of God's loyalty. Covenant loyalty. God's, when the psalmist saves that psalmist, manifest will be a nation of festation, mercy, God's mercy. Even though the even aspects of process are dim, psalmist, the psalmist is realized in the end that in he will and he exalting be exalted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in 7, verse Solomon, the psalmist count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord per se. Look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his heart? Verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist, is the David. It's the writing, it's the one ovation, the south psalmist of the soul beast will be manifestation of the state's covenant of God's loyalty. Covenant loyalty. God's, when the psalmist saves that psalmist, manifest will be a nation of festation, mercy, God's mercy. Even though the even aspects of process are dim, psalmist, the psalmist is realized in the end that in he will and he exalting be exalted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in 7, verse Solomon, the psalmist count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord per se. Look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his heart? Verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse 6 talks about the beloved, that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist, is the David. It's the writing, it's the one ovation, the south psalmist of the soul beast will be manifestation of the state's covenant of God's loyalty. Covenant loyalty. God's, when the psalmist saves that psalmist, manifest will be a nation of festation, mercy, God's mercy. Even though the even aspects of process are dim, the psalmist is realized in the end that in he will and he exalting be exalted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in 7, verse Solomon, the psalmist count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord per se. Look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his heart? Verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God's promise is sure. Now in verse 7, the psalmist recounts exactly what it was that the Lord promised. Look at verse 7. God has spoken in his verse all 6 talks about so beloved that the beloved here, the beloved psalmist is the David. It's the writing, it's the one vation, the south psalmist of the soul beast will be manifestation of the state's covenant of God's loyalty. God's when gives the psalmist saves that psalmist manifest will be a nation of state's mercy of God's mercy. Even though the even specs prosper are dim, almost the sizes realize in the end that in he will and he exalting be exerted because the Lord God's as God's promise is sure. Now in 7, verse Solomon, the psalmist count recounts what it exactly was that the Lord was promised. Lord per se, look at verse 7. Has God in spoken his verse 6 also talks about the beloved. The beloved here is the psalmist. It's David. It's the one writing. The salvation of the psalmist will be a manifestation of God's covenant loyalty. When God saves the psalmist, that will be a manifestation of God's mercy. Even though the prospects are dim, the psalmist realizes that in the end, he will be exalting the Lord because God